Hi, Kelvin. Kelvin, we were just talking about Mathe Musics, and we are doing a very wonderful exploration based on your representation of Mathe Musics in the terminology of Tetrionics. We talked about the relationship between body and mind, and I started to ask, look into the relationship between health and disease, and I suddenly realized that that's exactly what you were describing in Tetrionics, as the relationship between circles and spirals. And I see that in our body, the circles and the spirals can be recognized in their togetherness and connectedness in very many different ways. And I wondered how in Tetrionics that can be seen at its most basic level, because I assume that there is something where the interaction of electromagnetic fields can be shown as circles or spirals, but also where the result of that can be seen in the way that the electromagnetic fields put tetrions in place, in clusters, in groups, harmonics of vibrations, resulting in clusters of tetrions as little loops of self-repeating vibrations. I'm curious how that could be modeled in tetrionics. And you said that might take us in a bit of a different direction, so please do.
Yeah, it comes back to those ones I sent through in the Mathe Musics. There's no easy way to explain it other than to say print the pages out and make the models. It's an old statement I keep making, but it's really the easiest way to try and explain it. In essence, what people have to get their head around is that how do you say it? If you view a constant force or an unchanging system, whether it's EM fields or otherwise, is creating a circular plot, and a changing field or a changing force creating a spiral, either inwards or outwards, what you have to realize, and this is where those pages come in, is that where you draw the linear momentum to create either a circle, if it's the same linear momentum all the time, or draw differing lengths of any of linear momentum to create the spirals, what you have to realize is that where those vector arrows are for the linear momentum, there's an equilateral triangle pointing upwards and downwards from them. It's not just where you see a vector line, there's actually an associated equilateral triangle of energy, scalar electromagnetic energies that create that square root vector force. That's where that first picture of the Planck quantum comes in. At how do I put it? Those pages will teach people more than I can possibly explain on a discussion. Basically, where you draw those vector lines for the forces to create the acceleration curves or deceleration curves, there's this 90 degree up and out of the page, down from the page, equilateral triangle that you don't see, that you'll never sense. It's this immaterial mass energy again. You don't know it's there. All we do is we measure the force that it creates from all these Planck quanta of work being added to a system, or changing amounts of Planck quanta, changing energy momenta of a system that creates these spirals. It's really that the one that I did for Mathe Musics is probably the best one, because then you can see the polar view with these different lengths of linear momentum, which is the changing momentum, the acceleration, which can be positive or negative to create the spirals. If it's the same linear momentum all the time, then it creates a circle. It's in stasis or in equilibrium with its environmental factors. But where those arrows are, there's this hidden unknown, hitherto unseen equilateral triangle of energy. And it's full of other triangles of Planck quanta that make up E equals H nu squared. That's the basics of tetrionics. But calculus, which you plot an acceleration curve on a graph, XY graph, and then you draw the lines of, well, you draw the lines of force underneath it as pink arrows, just like the other illustration that I sent. Normally you draw a square or rectangular box underneath the curve and integrate it and say that that's the energy. And while that will give you the right answers and give you more accurate answers per unit of time for the more rectangular boxes you have underneath that curve, it's only giving you the right answers because the velocity and the changing velocity over time is related to the mass of the object and the force applied, F equals ma, delta V or delta P over time. But what's hidden in all that work of Newton since he developed it and has never been discovered are these equilateral triangles of energy. And just like that other picture I sent, the one of the radiant EM fields around the matter, that's what's really going on. You have all these triangular fields radiating out from a material object, and whether they're increasing or if they don't change, you create, if you were to plot the tips of the linear momentum of all those triangles, the square root of all those triangles, you'd plot a circle around it, just like you'd draw a circle around the sun for the orbit of a planet, because the sun's output's relatively steady, so it creates radiant fields that keep objects in a circular orbit around it. If the sun were to become a variable and pulsate backwards and forwards, then those circular orbits would become spirals. Either spiraling in as the fields weaken, or being pushed outward as the sun's output increases. And you see this throughout nature in many, many different ways, but it's an inherent feature. But the problem with modeling physics, as we do now, is we just model the motion of material objects and their curved paths, which leads us to these statements, these crazy statements of curved space-time, etc. It's not like that. It's all these acceleration curves and spirals, etc., are the result of these equilateral triangles pointing outwards. All we're doing when we measure the force on an object at a distance is measuring the strength of the tip of that triangle where that object is. Wherever that object finds itself in the equilateral fields radiating out from an object will determine its motion because of the quanta inside the field. And the closer it gets to the object, the more quanta there will be and the stronger the field. The further away it goes, the weaker the field because there's less quanta at the tip of a triangle. That's the inverse squared law. So what we plot as an acceleration due to changing force is only a fraction of the picture. It's missing these triangles tilted up out of the page because you're looking at the page, so all you see is this vector line. If you, in fact, print those pages out, cut the triangles out and slide them in, you can, in fact, when they're pointing upwards, you don't see them. All you look straight at it, all you'll see is the edge on of the triangle, which lines up with the pink of the arrow. It doesn't matter which way you rotate the triangle, that linear momentum always remains the same. It's the same force. And it's determined by how many triangles you have in the larger triangle of the field. But to illustrate the point, if you were to then fold all those triangles flat with the page, suddenly you'd have all these right-angled Pythagorean triangles appearing. The other half of the equilateral triangles hidden under the page, obviously. But the top would have all these right angles, just like Newton described integrating by drawing rectangles, except we'd have triangles in this case. But even if you were to integrate those triangles, your answers would only be kinetic energy. It'd only be half of what's required for the energy to create those accelerations, because the other half's hidden. This is where physical modeling, well, actually, this is where the verbal explanations of the physical models doesn't do it justice. It's extremely hard to try and convey what it is you need to do, but the simplest thing to say is to print those pages out for the calculus illustrations in Mathemusic, as well as the acceleration curves that I did as well. Both of those illustrations, when printed and put together, will well and truly ram the point home as to what calculus, as described by Leibniz and Newton, fails to convey. And that is, it might work mathematically, but it does not reflect the geometric reality of energy or of energy momenta in our universe. The models that I provided for the Mathemusic and in Tetrionics itself reflect the actual reality of how nature makes energy, makes momenta, how it produces the curves that we get, that we plot when we measure velocity over time, etc., and produce the spirals and produce the circular motion of non-accelerating bodies, which is only special relativity versus general relativity, basically, in its extreme simplicity. But the mathematics does not give you a geometric understanding of what's going on. It just gives you formulas to predict how the motion will occur or what caused that motion. It doesn't give you the mechanics, and it doesn't give you the geometric reality that gives rise to those mechanics. But on the other hand, if you know tetrionic theory and you have, as they would say in the Hermetic teachings, and if you know the key geometry, you can then make sense of all the teachings. Because once you have this equilateral triangle, you can build these models. The models then give you the math. The mathematics gives, the geometry gives rise to the mathematics. The mathematics does not create the geometry. It's so often stated in modern science that mathematics is the language of nature. It's how nature does things. It's absolute tripe. Nature does nothing by mathematics. It does it through geometry. The geometry gives us the constants. The geometry gives us the square root of the geometries, gives us our forces, our vector directions. The geometries, the field geometries of the charges, give us our electric fields and our magnetic fields. It all comes about by geometry. There is no computer inside any particle that looks at a field and says, there's the strength, this is how I should operate. It doesn't come with a preset algorithm, as mathematicians would like you to believe. It simply operates on the basis of these overlapping mass energy geometries and the related square root linear momenta. So if you've got a body of matter that's being created and it's got an associated radiant mass energy field around it that contains momenta, linear momenta, vector momenta, linear momenta that produces a vector force is probably a better description, then that material object will provide information to that field, and that field in turn will affect other objects around it. If there's more energy, the field will push out further, an outward spiral of growth. If there's a reduction in energy, the spiral will contract. If the energy is in equilibrium with the environment and static, then there's no acceleration curve. It's just a circular motion. And that's the basic mechanics of all the motion in the universe, save for attraction and repulsion, which occurs when two of these fields of mass energy overlap. Where they overlap, they exchange the linear momentum of the system, points in both directions in both cases, and it either is constructive or destructive. If it's constructive, it'll enhance it and create a stronger attractional repulsion. If it's destructive, then the fields will be weaker interactions, either attraction or repulsion, depending on the arrangement of quanta in those fields. It all comes down to these until now hidden equilateral fields of energy. You ask any physicist to describe energy or what energy is, and they'll say that's a nebulous term. There's no description of energy, electrical or otherwise, in modern physics. It's described as a scalar property, and as such, it's to them it's nebulous. It's spread out over a region. There's no definite way of describing it. Well, tetrionics blows that right out of the water. Tetrionics shows you the scalar geometry, shows you the vector forces, shows you how it's quantized, how it can be mathematically described classically or in quantum or relativistic mechanics. But it's this hidden topology or hidden geometry of Planck quanta that's at 90 degrees to all our illustrations in physics. All the 2D illustrations in physics just plot the curves. Velocity versus time, the momentum versus time, however you want to plot it, but they don't address the energy. It's just a nebulous term. Well, tetrionics says it's a distinct physical entity. It is a triangle of electromagnetic energies with a vector square root bisector, which is the linear momentum. It's simply the apex of the triangle. It's as simple as that. But you need to make the models in order to see how more or less energy creates spirals and how a constant energy source creates a circular path. It's one of these things. It's just one of those subtle geometric relearning curves. As you get familiar with it, suddenly you'll end up like myself, where you just view things completely differently. You immediately, if you see a curve, you immediately draw the vector lines out to make the curve, and you know that sticking up and out of the page that you've just drawn are these triangles, and that's the triangles made up of these Planck quanta. Every piece of matter has those fields radiating out from it. If the fields increase, the spiral changes. If they decrease, the spiral changes. If this energy stays the same, no matter where you measure around that body, you just produce a circular pattern because it radiates out in all directions equally, which is what drove the mathematical descriptions of physics. 4π spherical particles radiating out in all directions make circular tracks of force. You plot circular forces, it's natural to assume that it's created by a 4π spherical object, when in fact it's not. It's created by these radiant triangles pointing outwards that plot circles, create spherical halos of energy momenta. So I hope that sort of covered it. It's not the easiest thing to try and convey, but the, again, as I keep saying, those printable pages are the key. When you build those models and rotate them and fiddle with them and look at what they're telling you, the old story, the geometry tells you how the physics works, not the math. When your brain re-encodes for it and you get to start picturing it, then you'll make sense of what I've just been saying. It's a bit like the Hermetic teachings. Until you play with the models, it sounds a bit mumbo-jumbo-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Mumbo-jumbo-ish.
Gibberish, yeah. It's wonderful, because my question was, is it possible to relate health and disease as principles, processes to tetrionics? And the answer is yes, even more than that, yeah. You can model it. Just get them, get the model, cut it out, put the triangles together, and see how change, the triangle represent change. If there is a change in change, and Newton described that as the acceleration, then it will create a spiral, and it will be expanding spiral or a contracting spiral depending on what starting point you work from. And that, of course, had the change of the system is what people tend to call disease. So now we have suddenly no need to make a distinction between disease and healing, because we can see that disease is a change which is basically in an escape mode, as Bert Verveen would describe that. And health is a disease between contained levels of coherence. As you just described, start with cutting out the templates, play with the triangles, see how triangles form the spirals, also see when the triangles form circles, and then in Mathemusic's terminology, we could say that the spirals are the process of disease, which is also the process of adaptation, and a lot of people forget that, or doctors also forget that. Naturopaths are very well aware of that. When a fever comes, they know that the body is adapting. There must be reason for that, so help the body with that adaptation to find the next level of coherence. While medical doctors of the mechanical kind say, well, this is changing, and they always assume that change will lead to escape, because doctors have this model of health, adaptation, compensation, decompensation. So from the circle you go to the spiral, to the explosion or the implosion, and to collapse. And in naturopathy, they are aware that there are different levels of coherence, and they need to sort themselves out between them. And in Chinese medicine, that is known as the calibration of the divisions. Sometimes you could have that the divisions are basically the cell level, the organ level, and the body level. They are three cycles of self-replication in very stable balance, the homeostasis is the word for that, which then operates at three levels, of course within the fourth, which is natural environment. And sometimes you get that the cell dynamics starts to overrule the organ balance dynamic, and that is what medical doctors in the West would call an organ disease, or in fact it's always an organic disease. In Chinese medicine they say, well, if one organ is in escape mode, if the cells within one organ are suddenly becoming inflamed, then why is that the case? Well, there must be a disbalance between the organs. And if there's a disbalance between the organs, then there's probably a disbalance between the body and the environment. So they can see that these three concentric rings, and we talked about that earlier in the previous session when we were talking about the side view and the top view of the tetrionic representation of the triangles, that there are these concentric rings. And if one ring starts to become larger than the other, basically that's where in acupuncture theory they would say there is a reversal. Yes, there is a reversal. The cell dynamics suddenly starts to overrule and interfere with the organ dynamics. So in Chinese medicine, they don't say there's a fever in the organ, we have to inhibit the fever and get it back to function. In the Chinese medicine, they say, well, there's an over-energy in the organ system, and this one organ just happened to get the full dollop of it. But which of the other organs is no longer doing its work enough, as a result of which there is this stagnation taking place in the one organ. And so what happened in the energy circulation between the body and the organs? So in the divisions of Chinese medicine, they see that you can't just look at, say, a lung inflammation and treat that without looking at the rest of the organs, without looking at the rest of the body within its context. And then often you can find that people who have lung inflammations are people who in a way find they cannot breathe anymore in their social context. So they find that they are inhibited in their speech, or they are inhibited in their self-expression, or there's something else freezing them in the circumstance, and it could actually be a frost, as a result of which their lungs start to shut down a bit. But that also means that the other organs didn't kick in enough. So in Chinese medicine, if there is a chill outside, basically the organs within that circuit internally would spin up and produce the energy to keep the lungs capable to do its stuff. But it also would mean that the identity is kept charged and powered enough so that the individual can still express themselves. And of course, in the Western cultural, political, material, financial climate, people find that they became dependent on money to say what they want to say, do what they want to do, live as they want to live, and experience, even survive as they need to survive. So these four rings of the cells, the organs, the body, the environment, then became the financial survival, living, expression, realization. Degrees, but they're all interconnected. And now you've shown that in Tetrionics we can simply model that. And then, of course, everything that the Chinese medical and the Indian medical and the shamanic medical systems use now come in relationship, in connection to what happens in the physical body. And in Mata Music, it's evident that the physical body, the anatomy, is a result of the physiology. It's just materials produced by cells at a physiological level. The cells need to have their information at the regulatory system level, which is also the neuronal and the hormonal system, which is the organs talking between themselves, and the brain forms part of that. But that, of course, only has meaning if what happens in the body is consistent and coherent with what happens outside of the body. So healing is actually integration. And if that doesn't take place, it turns into disintegration. And now, in what you said, we have a very simple way to represent that in Tetrionics as these concentric rings of the different divisions, as they're called in Chinese medicine, which are actually the relationship between the cells, the organs, the body, and the environment. And it is nice that you say, well, okay, print the template, grab the scissors, cut it out, and start to move around so that you can actually see it. So that puts the printer and scissors at the fundamental core of healing and the art of understanding when a process of change in the body, such as a fever, is not a cellular process, but it's always an organic process, as Hans Selye already pointed out, and that we must understand that the organic process has a difficulty because the triangles forming the spiral do that as part of a larger pattern, which we can now call the geometry. So I'm really glad, because in Mata Music, I knew that I was trying to model the complex dynamics of cell cycles, and cycles within cycles within cycles within cycles, in terms of music. But I, of course, realized that music is just a language of vibrations, and in fact mathematics is a much more elegant level of description of vibrations in many ways. Of course, I have that bias because I studied wave engineering and wave mechanics in engineering school, and I saw that there are such elegant forms of mathematics to describe what happens at the levels of rhythms within rhythms, cycles within cycles. There's the Fourier analysis, there's the Cornu spiral, there is the Mach conic. There's so many ways in which people thought up in detail how that very complex dynamic can be described and expressed, but it's a bit as psychiatry. They have all these different models to try to understand what's happening with somebody, but all of these models seem to be totally unrelated, and it's just like tools in a toolkit, and the psychiatrist just grab one and see if they can tinker it and get it to work again. And in tetrionics, we now get mathematics unified in a geometry. So then everything suddenly becomes simple, and that gives the possibility to actually maybe a next time elaborate that part of mathemusics and tetrionic notation for that to actually describe healing. Because, of course, mathemusics aims to describe what happens at the level of the physiology in these cycles within cycles, maintaining their coherence. But when we look into what we really want to know, it is what to do when these cycles become unstable and the organ cycles become inflamed or start to congeal. And now we can simply add to the understanding of Bert Verveen about the cycles within cycles, and the understanding of Hans Selye about the expansions and the contractions, we can add to that the language formulation of tetrionics, and show that what Bert Verveen describes for health with the circles within circles within circles with their own complexity can be described in tetrionics notation, and that the expansion and contractions described by Hans Selye can be shown as the spirals going out and in, with the extreme cases of the explosions and the implosions. So then we have this connectedness of the explosion, the outgoing spiral, the health state, the ingoing spiral, and the implosion as one continuum, which is, if you understand it, the machinery of healing. So now, this is really neat. We can address the machinery of healing by understanding that the cell dynamic of pulsations and growth, expansion, contraction, can indeed be modeled by music, can more specifically be modeled by tetrionics, and so that we can now actually look at the way the notation of tetrionics and the simple printed, cut and pasted practical approach of tetrionics can become a basis for understanding healing and health, and thus can become the prime tool, a fundamental tool of integral healthcare. So, yeah, Kelvin, that's really a very good thing to explore next, probably next time.
Just one additional thing that I feel is probably important to note, and this is where the English, where language breaks down in describing physical processes and where physics goes off and does their own thing. When you look at acceleration, I was always taught acceleration is an increase, deceleration is a reduction. If you read enough physics texts, particularly modern ones, you'll find that physicists have this nasty habit of describing acceleration as either positive or negative. So instead of saying deceleration, they just say a negative acceleration. I think the same thing is happening in medicine, where we have health and disease, which can equally be described now, just like we have an acceleration that produces a convergent or divergent spiral, we can equally say that we have health that is either positive or negative health. The negative is what we normally describe as disease, or what most people associate with disease. But as you're pointing out, sometimes a negative spiral or a negative health, reduction of energy, is not necessarily a bad thing. it may be the body adapting to the environment in such a way that it makes it actually, in fact, healthier or promotes its health within that environment. Just like physics now tends to say acceleration and then relies on the plotting of the acceleration to say whether it's positive or negative, we could probably do the same thing now. Instead of saying disease, we just say negative health or positive health, just as an observation. It seems to be that there's a crossover occurring terminology-wise, particularly with the modeling that we can do with spirals.
Yeah, and more specifically, that in that cascade from health to adaptation to disease to death, somatic medicine focuses on disease and death, basically because they come too late. They look at the body and they don't feel have the finger on the pulse. But at the moment that you have the finger on the pulse and can feel what happens at the organ level, and even better if you can actually feel what happens at the mind-soul level, then you can see that somebody is experiencing something in an adverse way, and then from the psychosomatic connection, that mental experience they sort of project onto their body. The body, compliant as always, the genie in the bottle, will play along. And then if they think that they are needing to get out of a situation they are in, the body will start to run, but it doesn't run, so it will build up a high blood pressure instead. And then it might collapse as a result of that, simply because the cells cannot cope with the pressure, which comes from the high blood pressure, which comes from the internal attempt to escape from a situation, because the individual feels ill at ease in the situation that they're in. And once you see that, then you can, instead of going in that cascade from health to adaptation to disease to compensation, you can stick at that level between health and adaptation, and you don't have to go into that level from compensation to decompensation, because from compensation to decompensation, that's where the spiral of adaptation, of resetting the system in the environment, basically overdid it or underdid it, where Bert Verveen says that the closure of the feed forward and the feedback doesn't match anymore, and at that point the system will break up internally. And Bert Verveen has done wonderful work to show that diseases are basically sub-processes which come into play because there is an overshoot of the feed forward or an undershoot of the feedback. There is no more matching in the system, as a result of which integration will lead to disintegration. And with what you're saying now, we can model that. But we can model that at the level of health and adaptation. And that, of course, makes a full transition, because for the purpose of getting money for the treatment of disease, it will be possible to invest in prevention of disease. And that, of course, means that instead of having an economy in which disease is actually counted as an asset because there's so much money going around, you can come to I call it the eco-economy, where health is actually the value. And people can invest in health, and as a result, together can be more healthy, as a result can be more wise, as a result can be more creative, symbiotic, and as a result can create an abundance, which is very simple once you understand that it is possible, and that as individuals, yes, we can use our telepathy, and yes, we can not stop working as individuals and can start working as humanity, on the simple reason that we can now understand that the spirals are not spiraling out of control, but simply spiraling up to the next level. And then from the next level, we can use that energy, put it to good use, and increase the health, so that changes of disease are actually transitions into better, more encompassing states of health. And that's exactly what traditional healthcare has always said, that as popular parlance would say it, Everything doesn't kill you, make you stronger. That's precisely how the body learns. And we can help the body learn, because, and that's what psychic healing does, if the body of one individual has difficulties, somebody who has already gone through the disease at the psychic level, but also sometimes at the molecular level, called immunity, they will know how to deal with it. And actually, homeopaths do that. The homeopath doesn't have to give the physical disease nor the physical solution. They just give the information of what's going on, as a result of which the body knows how to deal with it. And so that's where we can then go to that level which you just addressed, that when we look at the spirals as part of the stabilization dynamic, then we can see that yes, there will be circles and circuits in the body for the stable setting, but they will always adapt. We wake up, we go to sleep, we eat and we don't eat, we are active, we rest, we expand the spiral, we contract the spiral. And once we bring that into the picture and have a picture in which the spirals and the circles are part of the same pattern, and in tetrionics that is represented as triangles with circles, because the forces of translation and rotation, or the forces of change and the forces of continuation, are part of the same story. We can see that what happens at the level of the boson of change and the level of photon of continuity, communication, coordination, are then applicable in a direct manner to health and adaptation in the body. And in a way, I sort of intuitively understood that this is something which is implied in tetrionics, of which I'm just a novice student. And when I asked you to think along on that, it turns out that with your experience of tetrionics as it's teaching itself to you, you do recognize this. And that's fascinating, because that really helps for those projects which I always started with, bringing science to life. Yes, it is possible to do that. Healing healthcare, yes, it is possible to do that. Mathemusics, yes, it is possible to show that. And basically, we come into what you've started to describe already, tetrionic biology. Yes, we can apply that. We are that. I'm not sure how to go from here, because this is such a fundamental conclusion for this exploration of today, where I started to ask you, okay, now while we are talking about mathemusics, you've made some images for that. Can you tell some more about that? But it has led to the realization that those images, especially if you print them out and cut them out and work with them, are probably the most fundamental tool to understand health and healing. So, how are you going to follow up on that one?
I keep saying, make the models. I always, even with physics, I'm always saying, make the models, because that's where people come unstuck. Because even I did. You think a simple thing like a triangle rotated would work a certain way, but time and time again, as I was learning and developing the theory, every time I made silly mistakes, it was because I hadn't made the models, I hadn't developed a complete understanding of how these things all interrelate. And as I said just before, I mean, like, I'm still learning. I'm still discovering relationships and, corrections and connections. How things, as we're discovering with the mathemusics, there's lots of connections to be made, which just reinforces the tetrionics is the unified theory, because the more we apply it and the more we understand it, the greater the understanding grows.
Yeah.
It's the key linchpin that's been missing from science
more ways
and,
it can
and
be
spirituality
applied.
Teachings, yeah. Spiritual teachings, I should say.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this is just a hands-on sort of thing, and this discussion tonight just shows how a simple topic, when you follow it through, can apply in so many different ways. But the hardest thing to do is to communicate how these things interrelate, how they connect. So, but that's what these discussions are for, to elaborate and to explore.
I would like to suggest that we close off this session, this recording, this episode, in which we've now shown that with the models of Tetrionics, we can model what Matter Music tries to do, which is show that the body is just a processor of vibrations, and there are regularities to it which are very like music, and health and disease are much like cacophony, like symphony and cacophony in the body. But now we also have come to the level to see that we can compare that to cycles and spirals in the terminology of Tetrionics. But that also brings us back to the notion of which you've repeated again and again, do it, cut out the templates and make them.
You could employ a team of graduates for several years just elaborating and building up illustrations.
Yeah.
Further what we've discussed tonight.
Yeah. And as we are doing this as part of a much larger series of projects, for you, you're working with Tetrionics at very different levels of expansion and depth of understanding. I'm doing that with this integral healthcare science of life, of which Matter Music is part, and for which I realized that Tetrionics is a wonderful tool. Then in the session for today, we saw that yes, we can use Tetrionics to understand health and disease as circles and spirals, as concentric triangles and stacked triangles. But tomorrow, you and I are going to talk about the practical use of these templates. I'd like to suggest we close off the recording here, and then you need good weather to do that, I know.
Yeah, it's been pushed out, looks like a day or two.
Okay, so we'll not do that tomorrow, but at some point soon we
Glad
will
you
have
mentioned that.
A recording on how to play with these templates. And
yep.
So,
absolutely.
Then for those listening into the story of today, there will be a nice toolbox, in fact two toolboxes, boxes with the fundamental shapes of Tetrionics, so that you can just build the whole universe from scratch, starting with one quantum and learning how that builds the whole universe, but in the context of what we're doing here with Mathemutics as part of the science of life, to see that we are not just talking about using the quanta in creating the physical reality, but specifically also in connecting the quanta to freedom of choice, which is the essence of life, which we live in our body, and that we can use that in healthcare and healing. Calvin, I'd like to again ask you if you would like to round it all off for today, and then after I'll come back to you briefly for evaluation and see where we can go next.
I think we've covered it pretty well. I haven't got a great deal to add. We've pretty well touched on all the things we need to, and your summary was pretty good, so I don't think I've got a great deal to add. We'll obviously expand more on these topics over the time as it goes on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And I just like to bring out again very explicitly that I am really enjoying so much these conversations, because I find that so many thoughts fall into place by what you're doing with Tetrionics. Suddenly I get this kind of wall to bounce off some ideas, to see them come back with a much broader range. And as I mentioned earlier, for what I see, life is all about being able to extend our own wavelength, to surpass our own limitations, see how we connect up to other people, to everything else. And I experience that again and again in these conversations that we have. So thank you very much for that. And also for the pictures which you're making, which are such a great help to show these fundamental principles, which otherwise we cannot imagine.
Oh, that's the name. That's what it's all about. Exchange of ideas and furthering pollination of ideas.
So thanks again for that. I'll close off the recording for now, and I'll come back to you briefly for an evaluation to see where you go next. Thank you.